Hey there, everybody. It is Sunday. It is game day. It's time for Sunday morning tailgate here at Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield in the big chair. Hope you're ready for a huge slate of NFL action today. Obviously, the New England Patriots taking on the Chicago Bears in a game that got a little bit more interesting over the past couple of hours. We're going to also have some other injury news and notes from around the league, our DFS recommendations of the week, and a quick recap of yesterday's college football action. Before we do all of that, reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. Let's get into it, though, because obviously the big news, Adam Schefter reporting Saturday afternoon that Robert Gronkowski, his status for game day, is severely in question, as according to sources, Gronkowski did not even make the trip. Now, he popped up on the injury report late in the week with a back injury. It's unclear what exactly the injury is that caused him to not make the initial trip with the team. He hasn't officially been ruled out yet, but you can imagine that looks pretty unlikely that he's going to go. And if you want a quick glimpse of the impact of this, I got a text from my mom. Huge listener of the show. Hi, Mom. Just noticed that the Pats game odds changed to even. Is Gronk out? That was a text she sent Saturday night around 6:16 in the evening. And when, you know, I responded that apparently he didn't make the trip, she responded, thanks. Saw something on the Baltimore site that made me wonder. And so, yeah, there you go. That's a three-point move in the game, you know, moving it from, you know, 3 points to even that shows you the impact that at least Vegas thinks Gronkowski is going to have on this game. So has not been officially ruled out yet, but that may come a little bit later this morning. Obviously, he has to get to Chicago. That's issue number one. As for the rest of the injury report, Marcus Cannon was also ruled out on Friday with his concussion. No players listed as doubtful, a host of players listed as questionable, including Gronkowski. That also includes defensive tackle Malcolm Brown with a knee, Julian Edelman with a heel, Josh Gordon with that hamstring, defensive end Geno Grissom with an ankle, tight end Jacob Hollister, who might have to play a little bit of a role. He's listed as questionable with his hamstring, Sony Michel with the knee, Eric Rowe with his groin, and defensive ends John Simon with a shoulder and Dedrick Wise Jr. with an ankle and knee. All those players listed as questionable, all those players with limited participation in Friday's practice. As for Chicago, nobody ruled out yet. Marcus Cooper, defensive back, is doubtful with a hamstring injury. And you have three players listed as questionable, two pretty critical ones. Linebacker Khalil Mack with that ankle injury. Bryce Callahan, defensive back, he did not practice. He has an ankle injury. And wide receiver Allen Robinson, a limited participant with a groin injury. So that's a quick look at New England. Obviously, that Gronkowski issue is one that probably needs to be considered if you're going to perhaps wage some money on this game. I'm just saying you might want to take that into consideration. Obviously, that's going to be something to watch as we get here closer to kickoff now, which is just hours away. Let's go spinning around the rest of the league right now. Some other injury news and notes that you might want to be aware of. You know, maybe you're thinking some DFS stuff. Maybe you've got some, you know, regular leagues. You've got to figure out some sit or start decisions here. So let's get through some of that news. Bills wide receiver Ray McCloud will not play in week 7. This is apparently a coach's decision. Undrafted free agent Cam Phillips will apparently pick up his snaps. Andre Hall, defensive back for the Houston Texans. He has been activated from the NFL reserve non-football injury list. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma back in June. It's unlikely that he'll be back this week. Maybe he'll be back, but he's probably going to get eased back into the lineup here for Houston. Ezekiel Ansah, defensive lineman for Detroit, he has been ruled out for week 7, downgraded from questionable after practicing on a limited basis this week. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. Saints left guard Anders Pete with a concussion. He has been ruled out for week 7. That's a fascinating game to watch, that Baltimore-New Orleans game. That's a game I'm really interested to see. Obviously, Baltimore coming off a week in which they set a franchise high with 11 sacks. Melvin Gordon, running back for the Chargers. He has been downgraded to questionable for this week 7 game against the Titans. This is the early start, though. This is getting off in just a couple of hours here, that game in London. You know, getting downgraded late in the week, probably not good. This is a legitimate concern. So keep an eye on that. That game does start early, so if you've got Gordon in your lineups, you might want to think about making a change. Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, both of those players removed from the Week 7 injury report. That's some good news for Atlanta as they look ahead to Monday night playing the New York Giants. Sanu dealing with a hip injury, Ridley with an ankle injury. So that's a pretty good opportunity there for those two players to get back from Monday night football. Looking around the rest of the league, Giants also making some moves. Saints center offensive guard John Greco will start at right guard against Atlanta. That's something to look forward to. Also, Spencer Pulley, he's going to take over at center. You know, is it rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic? Will this actually help this Giants offense? That remains to be seen. Something that might really help that Giants offense, though, Evan Engram, he has been removed from the Week 7 injury report. He should be close to 100% coming off sort of a mini bye. He almost played last week. He practiced fully this week. He's in a good spot going up against a bottom three Atlanta pass defense that gave up touchdowns to O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate, last week. Zach Fulton, Texans right guard. He is not going to play against the Jaguars in Week 7. That's an offensive line that cannot pass protect for a lick right now. Now that's going to get even worse. Something I didn't mention at the opener, Stephon Gilmore. Patriots restructuring his contract. The move creates a little over $3.7 million in cap space. It makes you wonder, are the Patriots getting ready to perhaps make a trade? We talked about some potential trade discussions on Thursday's show. Maybe this is a move to, you know, prepare for that. Or maybe it's just, look, they were going to have to clear up some cap space anyway. So something to keep an eye on. Also in that Baltimore-New Orleans game, Saints cornerback Marshawn Lattimore, he has been removed from the Week 7 injury report. He fully practiced this week after a concussion. He's cleared the concussion protocol coming off their bye, and that Saints defense is basically pretty healthy going into that game against Baltimore. That will do it for this morning's news injury report. Up next, some DFS recommendations as well as a look back at how I fared last week. A little bit of a mixed bag. Hit on some, missed on others. I'll have it all for you on this Sunday morning tailgate edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now. Going to do our DFS recommendations right now. Let's quickly look back at last week. I had Matt Ryan as our blue chip pick at the quarterback position. He was QB2 last week in PPR leagues. So kind of hit on that one. Sam Darnold, though, he was QB25. He was your value pick. Missed on that one. Blue chip pick at running back was James White. And after a little bit of a slow start, he picked it up. Was running back 9 in PPR scoring formats last week. So we'll consider that a win. You know, any sort of top 10 thing, I'll probably consider a win. But Tariq Cohen, even though he had a pretty decent game, he was just running back 23 last week in PPR league. So we'll call that one a miss. Missed at both wide receiver spots. Jarvis Landry was our blue chip pick. He was wide receiver 34. Mohamed Sanu, he was our value pick. He was wide receiver 29. Not too pleased about that. We hit on the Gronk pick. He was tight end 6 last week. But Ricky Seals-Jones, 2 weeks in a row, he's let me down. So basically, look, he's dead to me right now. Okay, he's not really dead to me, but it'll take a lot for me, you know, to get back on the Ricky Seals-Jones train. And might have to wait a week or so to see how, you know, new offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich is going to handle the tight end position. So that's a quick look back. Let's now look ahead to today's DFS slate and our recommendations here for you guys and girls out there. At the quarterback spot, we are going with Jared Goff. It has been a while. Haven't picked him at all this year. And that run game seems to have taken more and more of a hold on that, you know, Rams offense. Goff has had some down weeks. But now, who do they get this week? They get the San Francisco 49ers, who will give up 22 points per game, two quarterbacks at, you know, on FanDuel, for example. That is sixth most per game in the league. I'm looking forward to Goff having a bounce back week. He's going off at 8,300 over on FanDuel, so it's probably worth it. Our value pick, rolling the dice here with Baker Mayfield. Why? Look, if you want to just stream quarterbacks against Tampa Bay this year, it's probably a good thing to do. They're giving up 28.6 points per game to quarterbacks this year. That is most in the league by a full 2 points. Atlanta's given up 26.6 points per game. And when you want to get into pure just passing defense, I've talked about this a ton. Look, they're giving up over 350 yards per game to opposing passers. They're giving up an adjusted net yards per attempt of 9.9. That is most in the league by a full point, a full yard per attempt, basically. Their defense has contributed and expected points contributed by their passing defense minus 90.47. Again, worst in the league. You could basically just stream quarterbacks against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, and you'd probably be doing fairly well. Baker Mayfield going off at 7,100. That's something to consider right there. Let's go to the running back spot. We're going to start with our blue chip pick. We're going to go Joe Mixon. Obviously, we saw what Sony Michel in the ground game was able to do against Kansas City last week. Well, Mixon gets Kansas City on Sunday night. I'm not a huge fan. I don't really trust Andy Dalton. I don't think many people do trust him in primetime games, but this Kansas City Chiefs defense giving up 32.8 points per game to running backs on FanDuel. Expect Mixon to have a pretty big night. When we go value, I'm going to go and roll the dice again. It's kind of what you do on value picks, but that sometimes you need to do that to win on DFS formats. Ito Smith, he's going to be taking over some snaps, obviously with Donta Freeman down. You know, so if you can get into a lineup with him, it's probably something to consider. Obviously, he's playing on Monday night, but look, you know, that Giants defense, they're giving him some points. I've seen some next-gen stats with him, you know, yardage gained since running back, you know, yardage gained after close. It's a new NFL next-gen stat. When a defender gets within 3 yards or so, he's one of the best in the league at that. He's got the sixth most yardage gained after close in that NFL next-gen stat. So that's something to consider. If, you know, you can't get into a format or you don't want to play a format that has the Monday Nighter, I certainly understand. So don't worry, we got you sort of covered there too. That trade of Carlos Hyde, look, Duke Johnson, he's just 4,000 on DraftKings. Chubb, he's just 3,600 on DraftKings. There's some value there. Theo Riddick is out. Kerryon Johnson, again, on DraftKings, 4,500. This was something that was pointed out by Mathalete Mike, who is at DFS underscore Mathalete on Twitter. He's probably worth a follow. He does a lot of DFS stuff right there. So I think that's a pretty good one. Let's also now look at the wide receiver position. Another guy that people should be all over this week and this year, basically, is Adam Thielen. Obviously, he's having a huge year for the Minnesota Vikings, going up against the Jets defense that's given up 35.3 points per game to wide receivers on FanDuel. And it's a Jets-Pats defense, which, you know, it's given up some yardage here. When you talk about what the Jets-Pats defense has given up per game, you know, they're giving up 272 yards per game. That's actually more than the Patriots are giving up, if that tells you anything. They've also given up, 11 touchdowns, which is pretty high. Did I get that right? Yeah, 11 touchdowns. So they are tied for fifth in the league in touchdown passes given up this year. So Adam Thielen, he's 8,700 on FanDuel, but he's probably worth it. So there's your, you know, blue chip pick there. If we're going to go cheap, and now this makes a little bit more sense with Gronkowski being out, let's go Josh Gordon. And, you know, against the Bears defense, it's also surrendered a lot of points to wide receivers, 36.4 points per game to wide receivers. Josh Gordon, he's just 6,700 on FanDuel. Last I checked, that number is still there, even with the Gronkowski injury status up in the air. And so Gordon might make a ton of sense for you guys and girls this week if you want to go sort of value at the tight end spot. At the wide receiver spot. Tight end is where we're going to close things out here. With Gronkowski in doubt, we sort of take him off the board. We look at Travis Kelce going up against Cincinnati, 7,600 over on FanDuel. That Bengals defense, how do they fare against tight ends? Well, not very well. They've given up 13.1 points per game to tight ends this year on FanDuel. That's fourth most in the league. Only the Bucs, Steelers, and Chiefs themselves are worse. So Travis Kelce could be due for sort of a bounce back week after being somewhat limited by the New England Patriots. And if you want to go cheap, well, I just mentioned the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mentioned Baker Mayfield. So how about David Njoku? He is $5,700 over at FanDuel. I'm still on this train. Maybe this is my next Ricky Seals-Jones sort of pick here, but I'm still aboard the David Njoku train. I love how Baker Mayfield attacks the middle of the field where tight ends tend to hang out. So I think that one makes a ton of sense as well. So there are your DFS recommendations for this slate of games. Again, I did throw in Ito Smith there. If you don't want to play that Monday Nighter, we've made some other recommendations for you, such as Kerryon Johnson, you know, Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson. Those are some names to watch if you want to go value at the running back position. Up next, a quick recap of yesterday's college action. Some quarterbacks with perhaps some resume-type games didn't fare too well. And my Wesleyan Cardinals, oi. That's next on this Sunday morning tailgate edition of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Sunday morning tailgate edition. Going to close it up by quickly spinning around some of the college football action. We'll start with Alabama. They roll again 58-21 over Tennessee. Nice road win for Alabama. Tua He's just legit, man. He is legit. 19 of 29, 306 yards, 4 touchdown passes. He did leave the game after a 41-yard touchdown run. He was a bit shaken up. Jalen Hurts comes in. He goes 2 of 3 for 21 yards and an interception. But yeah, Tua was 19 of 29 for 306 and 4 touchdowns without an interception. Another great game for him. Man, he's going to be fun to study when it comes, you know, sort of draft time for him. I'd be stunned if he came out. You know, he's probably got one more year in school. I talked about this game, NC State, Clemson, sort of a statement game, resume game for Ryan Finley. Well, this is a resume game that's going to get, that resume is going to get dropped into the circular file because Finley goes 21 of 34 for just 156, just 4.6 yards per attempt. No touchdowns, 2 interceptions. On the flip side, Trevor Lawrence, he continues a tremendous start to his career, 26 of 39, 308, and 1 touchdown as Clemson rolls 41-7. Another quarterback. Another statement game. A guy that I was really excited to see here in a couple of weeks. That's Brian Lewerke from Michigan State. Well, what did he do? Yes, there were some, you know, conditions. There was a little bit of weather in that game. 5 of 25 for 66 yards and a QBR of 3.3. I'm pretty sure that if he just spiked the ball, he'd have a better QBR. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. So that was a bad out, and he ended up getting benched in that game. Not the statement game from Lewerke. Was it a statement game from Shea Patterson? Perhaps. He goes 14 of 25 for 212 yards and 2 touchdowns in Michigan's 21-7 victory over their in-state rival, Michigan State. Another game that caught my eye as a, yes, a Nebraska fan. Scott Frost gets his first victory as head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers as Nebraska knocks off Minnesota 53-28. Adrian Martinez, 25 of 29 for 276 and 3 touchdowns passing for the Cornhuskers. He's just a true freshman. And that is such a young team, such a young offense. But they could grow into something over the next couple of years. And yes, Frost, I think, is starting to put together, you know, get a couple of recruiting classes in there. And I think that that could be, you know, a nice little program in the years ahead. Some other results that caught my eye, Syracuse 40 over North Carolina, 40-37. You know, you look at Syracuse quarterback Eric Dungy. Now, he's kind of sharing time with Tommy DeVito right now. He goes 17 of 33 for 225, no touchdowns, no picks. DeVito, he goes 11 of 19 for 181, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And so, you know, you wonder about who's going to be really seeing time there going forward. I liked Dungy a little bit when I studied him, but, you know, it does seem like Syracuse is really sort of splitting time between those two quarterbacks right now. Let's continue to look around, though. Some other quarterbacks, some other games that caught my attention to recap quickly. In Pac-12 action, you had Washington, you had Colorado. Washington comes out on top, 27-13, Jake Browning, 15 of 25. 150 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Steven Montez, who has gotten some attention, gotten some buzz in sort of the draft Twitter world. He goes 17 of 28 for just 144, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. But he's had some big games this year. The junior quarterback from El Paso, Texas, 6'5", 235 is what he's listed at, height and weight. And you look at some of the outings he's had. Season opener against Colorado State, he goes 22 of 25 for 338, 4 touchdowns and an interception. Their victory over Nebraska, he goes 33 of 50 for 351, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Had another huge game against Arizona State 2 weeks ago, 24 of 33, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. But obviously struggling a little bit in these past couple of games. Last week, lost to USC 31-20. He goes 26 of 47 for just 170. No touchdowns and a pick in that game. And then the numbers he put up today. But he's an interesting guy that I really want to watch a little bit more of. Was sort of curious to see how he fared in this game. Didn't have the outing that I think he was hoping for. But, you know, still there's a lot of football left to be played. A guy who did have an outing that you would want to remember. Now, this was on Friday night. Brett Rippon, 22 of 26, 308, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and Boise State's 56-28 victory over Colorado State. And with some other guys like Finley, you know, like Lewerke, you know, starting to struggle this year, Brett Rippon is getting more and more and more and more buzz. You got to watch this kid. Yeah, he's up and down at times, but I think that, you know, he's the type of player that could rise, veteran, savvy, knowledgeable quarterback, does the small things. I talk about him a ton, but with good reason. You know, keep an eye on this kid. I would love to see him down in Mobile, you know, for the Senior Bowl. but really excited about, you know, what he could possibly put together looking ahead towards draft time. Let's kick it down a level here. I had mentioned this game. You know, I was curious to see how this sort of, you know, championship game rematch from a couple of years ago would pan out. That's that North Dakota State, Illinois State game, two pretty good programs at the FCS level. Obviously, we've been talking about Easton Stick a fair amount on this show, and I've been talking about him elsewhere. You know, and in that game, North Dakota State 28, Illinois State 14. North Dakota State moving to 7-0, still the top-ranked team in FCS. Easton Stick, not the best game, 13 of 22, 207, no touchdowns, one interception. He's had a really sort of underwhelming year so far, but that team keeps winning, and you know he's going to get some buzz as that team keeps winning. Now let's go down a couple of levels now, and I mentioned this game, I talked about it, Amherst at Wesleyan. It's a little three game, it's a huge one. You know, what's interesting about the way Wesleyan's schedule is set up right now is that it's actually fall break, you know, for Wesleyan. So even though they're hosting this huge game, most kids are out of town. You know, most people are gone. You know, so not really what you'd want to see, you know, for a little three game. And you're not a result that I wanted to see particularly. Amherst 33, Wesleyan 3. Game didn't get off to a great start. It certainly did not. Amherst got on the board quickly. How? Safety. They punt Amherst on their first possession. They're forced to punt. They punt it down to the Wesleyan 14. Wesleyan goes two plays. Glenn Smith rushed for a loss of 1 yard. And then Mark Piccarello, he was sacked for a loss of 13 yards for a safety. 2-0. And that would be the first lead of the game, obviously, for Amherst. And they would never trail. They got a touchdown on their next drive. Amherst 9, Wesleyan nothing. There you go. 33-3. Wesleyan falls in little three action. Hopefully the guys can bounce back. Hopefully Wesleyan can bounce back here. You know, they're now sitting at 3-3. Really not what you want, where you want to be, Wesleyan, right now. Hoping to have a little bit of a bounce-back performance next Saturday as they host Bowdoin. Amherst, they host Tufts. Obviously, the Wesleyan then don't want to look ahead because in 2 weeks, November 3rd, they're making that trip to Williams for the other little three game on the schedule. That will do it for today's show, though. You're probably sick of hearing about NESCAC football, but hey, it's my show. I can talk about NESCAC football if I want to. Again, that will do it for today. I will be back tomorrow, or even probably, let's take that back. I'll be back a little bit later this afternoon or evening. Hopefully we'll look really spectacular this week. But anyways, I will be back. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schooler, and Mark Compton.